You are listening to 1290 WLBY and the Lucianne Lance Show. A very important election is coming up for the Ypsilanti Community Schools on May 3rd. It's a non-homestead millage renewal. And before your eyes glaze over on this, or even if you're not in the Ypsilanti Community Schools and you think this isn't something that you could get value out of, you will, because we are going to explain exactly how schools are funded. Joining us today is Dr. Alina Zachary Ross. She is the superintendent of Ypsilanti Community Schools. I want to salute you because this is, in all my years of doing radio and talking with officials like yourself, this is the first time I've really understood how schools are funded because of the document that you have up on your Facebook page and website on this non-homestead millage renewal request. And I think it's really interesting for everyone to understand how schools are funded. Let's first start with this millage, though. How important is this millage renewal to your community, the Ypsilanti Community Schools?
This millage is extremely important for our community, as we understand that these funds are the general funds, the funds that pay for our valued teachers. And we've seen how important teachers are during this pandemic, our transportation, just everything that happens in the school day. We count on these funds. Without them, it would be an $11 million a year burden on the district to figure out how this will happen.
So non-homestead, what does that mean?
Thank you for asking, because people wonder, is this going to be hit my taxes as a homeowner? What non-homestead means, these are additional properties, properties like apartment buildings, rental homes, the vacation property, vacant land, commercial and industrial property in the community in which this millage would cover.
All right. So this will not impact homeowners, but also we have to remember this is a renewal. This is not an increase for those non-homesteaders, right?
Absolutely. There is no cost at all for homeowners, and it's not a new cost. I mean, this, if business owners have are in the community, they have been paid in every district in Michigan anyway, this 18 mils, unless they qualify for some special tax abatement. But every business, this is not new, it's a renewal, and it just continues to support the communities that these buildings are in.
All right, we're going to explain why that works out that way in just a moment, but another clarification, even though this doesn't impact homeowners directly on their taxes, they can vote on this, right? This isn't just for non-homesteaders to vote.
Thank you for clarifying. Yes, any voter who goes to the polls are able to vote on this. It's really an awareness and making sure that we're not doing something covertly. We're right up front saying this is how we receive funds to support our students in our classrooms, and we want to make sure we get the voice of the voters.
We're talking with Dr. Alina Zachary Ross, superintendent of the Ypsilanti Community Schools, on the Lucianne Lance Show here on 1290 WLBY. So let's talk about how schools are funded. And this can get a little complicated. However, the way it's laid out on the Ypsilanti Community Schools Facebook page, there is an attachment people can click on and get all this information. I found the whole thing very fascinating, and especially because if this election does not pass, if this renewal does not go through, you are not going to be getting as much money from the state for your students and their education, correct?
Correct. Because we do get a certain amount from the state itself. So that's what I love that you point to the handout, because it shows that the state gives us the $5,404.85 per student. But what the public hears about is about this whole number of $8,700. And they say, where does the rest come? Well, the rest does come from the local non-homestead taxes. And the state assumes that. The state assumes that every single district has that going on in their community, and that's what makes it whole. So the state, we will always get the $5,404. However, they assume to make it whole, to get the $8,700, we're going to collect this local non-homestead tax.
And if you don't collect that, you're going to get $8,700 minus that $5,000 and some dollars. That's a lot less.
Yeah, that impact is $3,295 per student, which per student, it sounds small, but for us, that means $11 million.
You'd have to make cutbacks?
Oh my goodness, severe cutbacks. That would mean, like, for us, all our transportation plus all of our operations.
Wow. So again, just so everyone understands this, public schools in Michigan get most of their funding on a per pupil basis from the state. The amount a school district receives per pupil is called the foundation allowance. The per pupil foundation allowance for Ypsilanti Community Schools is currently $8,700, but that is both state revenue and local revenue, and the local revenue is generated through the 18 mills collected on the non-homestead property in the district. And this is how it works everywhere. The only difference is that the foundation allowance could be different depending on the school district, correct?
Well, now the state has equalized that. So our state, and we're appreciative of that because this is more than what we've had. So the state guarantees that $8,700. Where you see more is those hold harmless districts. Like our neighbors is a home harmless district, and that happened, you know, several years back. However, overall, that base foundation allowance for districts in Michigan is $8,700.
And who are the neighbors you're referencing?
Ann Arbor Schools is one that has a hold harmless. So their taxpayers years ago with Proposal A had been paying more, and Proposal A allows for them to continue to accept more funds than what we're talking about to be able to give to their local schools. And it had to happen during that time. District can't change it now. And so that's why it continues and why you might see some discrepancies in other districts.
All right, there are two things that we want to also educate everyone about, and they should know about it by now. I should know about it by now, but again, I find it very confusing, and that is the Headley rollbacks, which go back a long time ago, and this Proposal A that you're talking about. Let's start with the Headley rollback. This is when local units of government, including school districts, are required by law to reduce or roll back the millage rate when the growth on existing property is greater than the rate of inflation, correct?
It is. It is. And people might say, well, what does that have to do with this ballot? How is that connected, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so what it is when they see on the ballots, they'll see this a 0.5, right? We talk about 18 mills, but there's this 0.5 piece there, and that 0.5 added to the language on the ballot is a cushion against future Headley rollbacks. And so it ensures that the district always gets the 18 mills. So in case of that time where there's a Headley rollback, it allows for us to receive more funding. However, it for the business, it is still no more than 18 mills.
And
it'll make that equal.
And to give an example, in Ypsilanti Community Schools, you last approved the 5-year operating millage in November of 2017. At that time, the voters there approved a millage rate of 18.5 mills. And in recent years, that millage rate has been permanently reduced or rolled back to what it is now, which is 18.07 mills. And that's an example of how, okay, you had the cushion there, you were able to do what you needed to do, correct?
Yes, yes. And that, again, for that business owner, they're not seeing a difference. They're seeing the 18 mills, but that just allows our local agencies to be able to make those adjustments. So the right amount goes to the schools and then others to be dispersed as they're collected.
Okay, so and again, voters are being asked to renew in the Ypsilanti Community Schools 18.5731 mills when the statutory maximum non-homestead levy is 18 mills. That 0.5731 on the end of it is that cushion. Now let's move to Proposal A, which happened back in the early 90s here in the state of Michigan. What is that and how does that impact your district?
You know, people forget about it because it was the prior way schools were funded. There were a lot of inequities across the state. And so the state said, you know what, we're going to look at this different. We're going to fund schools differently. However, to not negatively impact some communities who had voted to give more, they put in that hold harmless claim. And so for those districts and communities who chose to give more out of their local taxes to the local schools, they kept that rate the same. And that was why it's called hold harmless. They didn't want to impact, because if they had made every school district in the state roll back and say, nope, you only can get what we have this deemed as that foundation allowance, they would have had to make too many cuts. And so for those districts, there's this whole hold harmless piece where the local taxpayers do pay more toward of their taxes towards school.
And that the local taxes, when they're collected, when voters approve this renewal or if it's a first time type of thing, they're collected, they stay local. It's not like you give that to the state and the state gives it back. So if that's the case, why is it the state includes that in the state money? It's almost as though people think, we're getting that from the state, you know, we're getting $8,700 per student. I don't know how much realization is that that could instantly be cut almost in half if they don't approve these kinds of non-homestead millage renewal requests.
Absolutely. You know, it's in Michigan, it's this whole combination. And it's been, as you talked about, you go back to Proposal A, this combination has happened for years. The amounts have varied, but this combination of local funds and state funds to support public education. And I think through the years, it's just how it was set up. So the fact that our local funds, it was always a portion that went to schools. And, you know, I think it's up to us as the local community, as we're having these conversations today, you're bringing this to light through your sending out this message right now. And that's what's important, is that we understand, because you talk to most people about their local taxes and you say, you know, it's broken up. This is why these are all these portions. And people say, that's too much. I don't know about it.
Well, and this is why I really urge them to go to your frequently asked questions about the Ypsilanti Community Schools non-homestead millage renewal request. And for you Facebookers out there, it's very easy. Just go to the Ypsilanti Community Schools Facebook page. It's right on there. You can click the link and read all this information. Trust me, I didn't understand this that well until I went through this. And it's what I love about it. I've seen other school districts have documents and they usually have tons of information and it becomes very complicated. You've got it laid out to really create a nice understanding, I think, for anyone, no matter, you know, what level they're at with understanding these school issues. We're talking with Dr. Alina Zachary Ross, superintendent of the Ypsilanti Community Schools. May 3rd, voters in the Ypsilanti Community School District will be voting on the non-homestead millage renewal request. By the way, that's not just City of Ypsilanti, right? Your school district goes outside those boundaries?
Yes. We do. We touch the township, we touch Superior Township. And so there certainly are other areas in our community who come out and vote. And that's why it's important that we get this information widespread so that everyone understands what they're asked to do.
Dr. Zachary Ross, remind everyone, these funds, when they're collected, where will they go from this millage renewal?
These funds go to, again, our teacher salary and staff member salary, our important cooks and bus drivers, all of those salaries are there. The supplies, the basic supplies and materials, our transportation, we know gas has gone up. So all those things that go around transportation, making sure we have in Michigan, the snow is removed. Those important basic things that just happen in schools every day, it supports our general, and that important for our students to be able to have what they need.
Dr. Alina Zachary Ross, superintendent of the Ypsilanti Community Schools. Again, this is May 3rd, the vote, and voters throughout the Ypsilanti Community School District will be voting on this non-homestead millage renewal, but the actual millage renewal only applies to local business, industrial, commercial property, or property that is not the owner's primary residence, in other words, the home in which you live. So there's no impact on actual homeowners, but there certainly would be, I presume, if this doesn't go through and all of a sudden you're with reduced funds in the Ypsilanti Community Schools. So this is going to be interesting to watch. Sometimes renewals aren't that exciting, but I think it's worth going over this because it is very important. And if it doesn't go through, and we talked already about, you know, how you'd have to make cuts, some people may think, well, don't you have other pots of money to use? Not necessarily, right?
I'm so glad that you asked that because they wonder, they're like, oh, there's a sinking fund that we passed. Without sinking funds, voters came out, we had to have a 10-year plan, and it's for very specific things. There's the debt fund, and we've got to pay off the debt with that. And then those other federal funds that we have to pay, like special education or Title I, those funds are already pre-designated. Most of them are reimbursed. So we have to spend it first out of those general funds and then be reimbursed. So there aren't other funds. You hit the nail on the head. We'd have to be reducing severely as a district, and it would impact students. It would impact the classroom.
Well, I've been very impressed with your students and your programs. We've had many on over the years on our show here on the Lucianne Lance Show. And to give a great example, the RCTC Culinary Arts team was down in Houston, Texas, competing to feed the astronauts. Just absolutely incredible what teacher Aaron Gertner was able to do with these students and the team from the RCTC Culinary Arts and Bakery Science. We're still waiting to hear the overall results, but you got a chance to watch that yesterday, right?
It was so amazing. Our hearts were so full as we were proud of them being in Texas at the Johnson Space Center, and just their the amount of knowledge they were able to gain from that experience, them having to create these specific recipes that for the astronauts. And these are the kind of programs that we want to just keep having and to be able to keep giving to our students. They need these experiences that are beyond just our regular math, science, English, and history. Those are important, but these are going to be memorable and will impact their futures.
And these are going to be the chefs in restaurants and other locations that are going out there. And it's a great example of how these kinds of programs are so valuable in the schools. It's just amazing to see. And that's always been the RCTC program overall is just phenomenal, I think.
Absolutely. And we're very, very fortunate to have Chef and all of our staff who do amazing job interacting with our incredible young folks.
Yeah, a lot to be proud there. Thank you so much, Dr. Alina Zachary Ross, superintendent of the Ypsilanti Community Schools, reminding everyone to get out and vote on May 3rd. Ypsilanti schools are facing a non-homestead millage renewal request. I'm Lucianne Lance. This is Ann Arbor's Talk Station, 1290 WLBY.